Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of How to Be Sound, the podcast where I, journalist and writer Rosemary McCabe, chat to people I think are slightly, if not totally, way sounder than I am, with the hope that these chats will help us all be better at life and sounder in general. Today's guest is Niamh Marr, Director of Audio Video at Her.ie. Niamh, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Rosemary. I'm actually delighted to be here. And also, does it count if I've been requesting to come on the show since its inception?
I think it still counts because you might be surprised to know that there are several people who have been asking when they're going to be on the show.
Okay.
And they've not been on.
Okay.
And we keep having it like, oh yeah, I must get to that.
Yeah, much better. Because as soon as I heard about this, I was like, amazing, Rosemary. Wow, love it. Love the concept. Your intro is talking about how you like talking to people who you feel are a little bit sounder. I was like, why haven't I on the show yet? So... I thought you thought I was sound. We used to go for lunch all the time and then you moved away.
I know.
Yeah, rude.
I moved away. Well, I didn't move away initially. I moved just across the city, but I'm incredibly lazy. So like if I'm not right next to you.
And we were right next to each other.
Yeah, yeah. We were like work neighbors. Tell me what you remember about the very first time that we met.
The very first time that we met. I believe that I saw you a bunch of times before we actually met in person. I know that
creepy.
Sounds so creepy. Just from the industry, just being around.
I was following you around.
Yeah. I knew you. I knew your online persona. So this is what I find this so interesting because I felt like I knew you before I actually knew you. And then when I met you, everything changed.
Yeah. I mean, not to make this episode all about me, but let's make it all about me. I'm interested that you say my online persona. Oh. Did you think it was very different?
Well, I knew about you from your Twitter spats. Let's be totally honest with you. It used to scare me. And we've spoken about this since, Rosemary, because you are very vocal on Twitter and it's not my medium. I'm not into that. It gives me a huge amount of anxiety to put something out into the world and then to fight about it. like that just makes me very uncomfortable.
You're not making it sound great, Niamh.
No. But that's kind of like, you know, I use Twitter for my work and that's pretty much what I do with it. But then when I met you, I knew I wanted to have you on Girls With Goals. And at that time you were going through a career transition and you were really into like fitness and you were going to be a personal trainer and stuff like that. So I found it interesting to meet you at that point in your life when you were almost closing the book on that. So essentially I was like, I might be afraid of her persona online, but let's check her out and see what she's actually like in person. And I thought we just clicked. I got along with you really well. You made me laugh instantly, which I liked.
Why didn't I have you on before now? I would like to point out that you're not wrong about my modus operandi on Twitter for a number of years.
Yes.
I think I've really changed and grown.
You have, absolutely.
And I don't think I've had very many or any spats on Twitter, or like any spats that I have had on Twitter in the past couple of months or year have really taken me by surprise. Whereas I used to kind of pursue, not fights, but I would kind of, you know, dive headfirst into a discussion that would then turn into an argument that would then turn into a spat. Or like I would see something tweeted and immediately argue with the person. Yeah. Whereas now I just like DM it to my friends.
Now don't get me wrong, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really enjoy watching those things unfold.
Like a car crash.
As long as they're not cruel or, you know, as long as there's a little bit of responsibility from both sides. And that's kind of a bigger issue that I have with Twitter when it comes to journalism, I guess. But yeah, I always kind of found them very entertaining.
I mean, you know what? I feel like Twitter has got a lot less friendly and respectful. Not that you would ever have described Twitter as being friendly and respectful.
Yeah.
But I think it's got worse over the past couple of years. And that probably has something to do with why I don't do it anymore.
Yeah, it's a scary place, I think, at times. So
tell me about Girls With Goals. Because you started Girls With Goals, I think, around the same time as I started How To Be Sound. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. And yet you have done, is it like 100 and something episodes now?
Yeah, I just...
Scarlet for me.
I just scheduled episode 106, which is going to be going up later this evening, with Izzy Wheels. They're amazing.
So that will be up by the time this podcast comes.
Oh, that will. That will all be up. Yeah, go like and subscribe. So Girls With Goals originally started under the Maximum Media brand, her.ie specifically in 2017. But I actually had the idea for it about a year and a half previous and actually recorded a couple of episodes while I was still at my former work, which was radio. So I was a news editor in radio and I was in the same radio station for 7 years, but worked in radio, the industry, for the guts of a decade anyway. And I wanted it to be a sports show. So that was kind of where it came from originally. So I was very interested in female sports. I felt like there was no coverage of it whatsoever. And I thought that it was a massive like hole in this entire industry that we were all crashing about in. So pitched it to my program director and stuff like that. And I actually pitched it as a radio show originally. I was just like, you know, I want to get athletes in and we can talk. And I'm thinking like a Sunday afternoon type show. I think it'd be great. He said no. He was like, absolutely not. but this was a good few years ago. So it was before, you know, this renaissance of women in sports, which
that's actually what I was going to say. Like, it has been a very interesting time for you to be doing this because the coverage is still not good.
No,
but has got a lot better.
Exactly. And I've just wrapped Play by Play, which was an all-female show that we did on Sports Joe and her for the last 6 months, which was incredible. But back then, you know, which is kind of 2016, you know, the audience, they were still there, but the audience weren't known. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it was untapped territory, essentially. But now, to be fair to him, he did tell me, why don't you make it as a podcast? And, you know, you can use the facilities here and just like push it out and we'll see. We'll kind of gauge what that interest is. So I went and I did that, recorded a couple of episodes with a couple of Olympians. No big deal. And then I decided to go digital because I was a little afraid of radio at that point as well, having been in it for so long. Not afraid, but I was just getting this yearning to make different content. I wanted to produce content that was primarily focused around women and that also was longer form. And just being in radio for so long and having kind of like clawed my way to a really great position in radio, I didn't see any other place that I could go. So yeah, I needed to get out and digital was the door.
And were you on air in radio or were you always kind of behind the scenes or was it a bit of both? Oh, yeah.
No, I was on air. I was newsreader as well as being the news editor. So like reading the news and stuff like that. But I was also part of the breakfast show. So I was kind of the female sandwich in that delightful... No, wait.
The female filling in that delightful man
Thank
sandwich?
Thank you. Exactly, yeah.
A manwich.
Yeah, a man sandwich, which was and can be the case a lot of the times to have like that kind of female voice in a duo of hilarity for men. Yeah. So I was sick of that, really. But I loved my team and I loved the people that I was working with. But I just wanted my voice to not be that kind of like little interspersed female voice. I just, well, you know, coming from radio as well at that time, and it's definitely gotten better, but it was just massive inequality. Like there just is.
I mean,
still is.
You don't want to be the seasoning.
No, exactly. And the thing is, when I moved into her, you know, it wasn't straight away. It wasn't like, great, you've got Girls With Goals, do that. It took 6 months. It took 6 months to kind of me, you know, position myself. And I took a step back from a senior position in a company to kind of go in lower and work my way up. And it took 6 months to kind of get the go ahead to do that podcast. And then literally, Rosemary, around the same time, you released your podcast. There was a lot of other female shows that were coming out. Mm-hmm. And originally I was like, oh God, you know, this is going to become so saturated, which it did. But at the same time, like, couldn't be a hypocrite because this was what I wanted. I wanted more females to be speaking. I wanted there to be more voices heard. And so then we all just started doing it. And it's awesome now. There's so many. There's so many that I listen to that I'm fans of. And I get amazing messages about Girls With Goals all the time. So,
yeah. And yeah. I mean, you know, what's interesting about podcasting to me is that I had the same feeling. So when we both started and then like, yes, around the same time, probably before me and slightly after me, like, you know, loads of podcasts started sprouting up in Ireland specifically. And kind of that I felt we're tapping into a similar market of followers that I would have had because I was kind of relying on followers to cross over from my social media. But what I've realized is, say on weeks when like Connor Behan and Holly Short all released Popcessed. And I think initially I was like, oh my God, this is going to, you know, they're going to do really well. And as a result, I'm going to do badly.
Right.
But podcasting has really shown me that one person's success doesn't take away from yours, like in terms of actual numbers. That like on a week where I can see oh my God, Girls With Goals went straight into number one because, you know, they had this guest or they got like, you know, big buzz around it. That doesn't mean that I get any fewer. Like, I still get the same amount of downloads each week because I have a kind of a specific audience that listens to my podcast for my podcast or for me or
that's
for the guests.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Nothing takes away from that or necessarily. I mean, by that same token, I had kind of thought, like, I had James Kavanagh on and I thought he was great, but I also thought that when James Kavanagh came on, I would get a huge boost in listenership because I was like, oh, you know, all of his followers will listen. No.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, I think people are quite loyal to podcasts.
Absolutely.
But by that same token, there's nothing that can necessarily boost or sink them.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Other than yourself.
Because, like, when you really think about it, the word podcasting was only literally invented in the last kind of two and a bit decades. It's such a new medium still. And now, you know, the jokes around it are flying and the jokes are so consistent, like SNL do it all. They did a really good podcasting one, actually. I'll send it on to you. But just the whole thing of like, everybody has a podcast now. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? Essentially, I think it's a great thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a medium where people can do things that they were never allowed to do before. And like, who are we as creators to say, well, if you do that, it will affect me or something like that? I mean, if your product is strong and if you think that you have done your job correctly, it, like you said, shouldn't affect it whatsoever. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Like, and it's also not like radio in that if you listen to Jenny Green, that means that you cannot listen to the show that's on at the same time as her. So you have to make a choice. Whereas with podcasting, I mean, I know you only have a certain amount of hours in the week, but you can literally pick and choose. I decided at one point to stop listening to Irish radio that was predominantly male presented. And it leaves you with very few options.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So like occasionally I would listen to Louise McSharry or I would listen to Alison Curtis or I would listen to Nadine Regan, Tara Stewart. Yeah. But like a lot of the time when I flick through the channels, all I hear is men, men, men. Whereas on my podcast feed, I think it's 99% female.
It's interesting as well. There's when I was in radio anyway, what I found so interesting was that a huge amount of producers and behind the scenes people and in news teams as well are women, do you know? And I found that really interesting because I was just like, people are very quick to say, you know, it's a male dominated industry. It is, but that's on air. Do you know? Like it's, I don't know the stats or anything like that, but I know that there is a huge female presence, especially in production and behind the scenes kind of work. And, you know, I mean, what is it if not, that's what we all need. We need people working behind the scenes in order to get this done. But it is frustrating and it is something that really kind of irks me. I don't have any bad blood about radio whatsoever. Like, I literally think of it with fondness, but I'm annoyed that I had to leave it, to be honest with you. Like, as in, I have great memories of the station that I worked for and the people that I worked for. I wish it was evolving faster, to be honest with you, to just showcase like that, what you said, so many podcasts out there now are fronted by women and backed by women and produced by women. And, you know, that's fantastic. But I don't see radio changing as fast as it should be changing. Like, I've been out of the industry now, out of radio specifically for over 2.5 years, and I thought there would be bigger articles have been written about it. Like, people are talking about it more, but is huge change
what's
happening?
Actually changed? Yeah.
Nah, not that much at all.
I would love to see a study commissioned about that, about the disparity between male and female presenters and then the percentages of women behind the scenes and men behind the scenes, and also to do an in-depth analysis of why that is. Like, is it that there are women who necessarily don't want to be on air, and if they don't want to be on air, why? Like, is it to do with the kind of gender difference in terms of that men are conditioned and taught that they can step forward and stand up and be heard, and that women are kind of told to help make the tea in the background? And I don't mean to talk about like production as making the tea, but I mean
we do make tea though as well.
But that women are kind of less inclined, I think, to put themselves forward and to really lean in, quote unquote, to that.
It's so funny. Like, it's so funny as well, because like I feel a certain sense of responsibility because I present and produce obviously a show which is all about lifting other women up. Like the other job that I mentioned earlier, Play by Play, which is just wrapped season one, you know, I was just producing that. And I have to say, it was an absolute joy to be off air for a while and to just be working. And anyone who does work in production will know what I'm talking about. Like, it's lovely to do that sometimes and to not be on air. But, you know, I'm pretty good on air. Do you know what I mean? And like, I'm good. People like me talking like at panels and stuff like this. I get asked on them more now, especially with the way my career is going. And I love doing that. But I also love being behind the scenes and I love producing. So it's funny because we're demanding that we're being heard more, and with that comes a sense of responsibility to shout about it and stuff. But like you said, sometimes people just don't like being front and center, and that's absolutely fine too. But it's about not blocking the women who do. Do you know what I mean? It's about making sure. And also, tokenism is absolutely rife. Like that. Don't just put a filling. Don't just do a sprinkle of it like this. Like, there's so many intelligent female broadcasters that are out there at the moment that can't get near a microphone. Do you know what I mean? Like, they literally just can't. And that's why they're flooding the podcast scene, I think. But like, it will never compare, in Ireland anyway at the moment, to the amount of people who are listening to the national radio stations. Like, they're massive audiences. And so it does need to evolve more, and it does need to change, because we are a very small country, and even though like our downloads and stuff are great, it's still big fish, small pond. Is that the right term? Small pond, big fish?
Small fish in a big pond, as in
like podcasting and radio world. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Oh god,
if that makes sense.
Answers on a postcard. You know what though, this reminds me of a conversation I had with Sophie Spence, the former Ireland rugby player, and when she retired from playing rugby for Ireland, she, and I hope she won't mind me saying this, but couldn't get a job coaching rugby.
Oh yeah.
Like, was finding it really, really difficult. And I think she was saying that she, and I'm not sure if she has or not, I haven't really followed, kind of looked into it or paid attention, you know, I haven't spoken to her since, but she was saying that she was thinking of moving to Wales and opening a cafe. And I was like, there's no way that Brian O'Driscoll would be going, oh, you know what, I'm finding it really hard.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like, we had Tanya Rosser, current rugby player. She coaches as well, and she's an incredibly talented athlete. But like that, you know, the episode that we had her on, we didn't actually go into it too much because we were just talking about other things. But it's very difficult for women to find that pathway from sometimes, you know, professional football or rugby or whatever it is into being a coach. And then the few who do make it in then have a huge ream of other problems that they're facing with, as in, like, you know, the problems of being taken seriously as a female coach, like going to, how far can you actually go? Are we going to ever see a female coach a national senior men's team? Do you know what I mean? Like, and the thing is that I know that it really is, and I feel like this is crucial, it's always about who's the better person for the job. I think that is the most important thing that you need to remember. And so sometimes I find myself falling into, I suppose people call them rants, about like the inequality that I've faced in my career and things like that, and the opportunities that I know I haven't had sometimes because of my gender. And the problem lies in the fact that it shouldn't always be the man getting the job. It shouldn't always be the woman getting the job. It should be the best person for the job. I mean, it's
absolutely
it's so basic.
Yeah, like, totally rudimentary. But often people bring that point up when we're talking about tokenism, or when we're talking about quotas in politics especially. People will bring it up and go, well, then you'll end up having, you know, then you'll end up not having the right person for the job. Like, if you're trying to fill a 50-50, if you're trying to fill a quota, and you're like, for years we have had to deal with mediocre men.
Yeah.
So like, are you telling me that they're the best people for the job?
Yeah.
Because like 99% of the time they're not. Oh, I remember what I was going to say now. Very important. It comforts me no end that there are more people who watch Pippa O'Connor's Instagram story than there are who listen to the national broadcaster.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes I think that, and it makes me feel really warm and fuzzy inside.
Do you know, I've been trying to get her on the podcast for so long. She never gets back to me. For Girls with Goals, like, she has so many goals. Come on, Pippa. Well, give me a shout.
I think she's achieved them all by now.
Probably, yeah. I just want to know what it's like to live in that house, to be honest with you. Like,
I want to know what it's like. Well, you know what?
Doesn't she live in the K Club or something?
She lives in the K Club. You know who else lives in the K Club?
Who?
Conor McGregor. And according to my mother, who went down the local shop, so I'm from Strafford, which is where the K Club is, and I live about 10 minutes away. Not in the K Club. And my mom comes back from the shop today and she goes, oh, they're having terrible trouble with Conor McGregor. Apparently he was out at all hours on a quad bike.
Oh my day. That is one of the best stories.
And I love these images of like Conor McGregor terrorizing his neighbours merely by being Conor McGregor, if you know what I mean. That they're all like, and you know, he apparently, oh yeah, another story my mom told. Apparently he bought houses for several of his friends, which like is amazing. That's an amazing thing to do. I don't like Conor McGregor, so I'm not going like, woohoo. But like, that's an amazing thing to do. But I think the insinuation now is that they're all having parties.
There could potentially be a podcast idea in your mother relaying these types of stories.
She would never go for it.
I'm so fascinated.
She hates when I mention her.
But you know what she's talking about? Take Conor McGregor out of the situation. She's just talking about feisty neighbors, isn't she? I'm having a terrible time at the moment with my neighbors. Show me one person who is not interested in what their neighbors are doing or not doing.
Well, also show me one person who's not having problems with their neighbors.
So
they live in a rural area with no neighbors.
Mine's a very new problem. It only happened, and I'm pretty sure that they've just moved in as well. Just having a party on a Friday night, and like, look, I love a party, but sorry, this was at, it was at 4 a.m, okay? And right, if I talk to you about the variety of the music that was coming down through my apartment and into my soul, I can't even, right? Okay, so 3 a.m, Johnny Cash. To be honest with you, not that mad at it. I was like, okay.
Yeah, Johnny Cash's okay.
I was like, I could get on board with this.
That's soothing.
It was when the, like, indescribable, hypnotic, Swedish dance music, that's all I can describe it as, came on. Just like, like my bed was moving.
It's funny now how we
shut the fuck up. I was like, shut the fuck up.
We think the Swedes are great for fashion, but not for music.
No,
why
I know.
Is that now?
And that's a whole other thing. They're great at interiors. I'll give them that.
Did you see somebody I follow on Instagram? I'll try and remember who it was and put it in the show notes. Had her neighbors were playing really loud music, so she left them a note saying, "Here are some suggestions."
So I was,
and it was like Mozart.
Yeah.
The Carpenters, you know what I mean? It was like,
I was going to leave a note because, like, I've done.
Oh, I saw your note.
Well, I did a passive aggressive Instagram, you know, saying I was going to party all night, which I did, and I was home in bed by 11. Lights out, no music. But I was going to leave a note downstairs being like, "Dear neighbors, thank you for the 3 a.m. Johnny Cash. Really appreciated that. What a legend. You know, we all miss him. But anything past 4 a.m., if you could please get better taste in music and also think about your neighbors with families, that would be much appreciated." But I thought it was too passive aggressive and I panicked and I freaked out and I just didn't do it. But I mean, I could still do it.
Is that passive aggressive or just aggressive?
I walked out of my apartment. It feels passive aggressive because I was going to throw a compliment in.
Like, yeah, okay.
I walked out of my apartment in my dressing gown or house coat, as people call them, which is the most bizarre thing I've ever heard. And I walked up and down the apartments trying to decipher which one it was. I couldn't find it though. And then I just started to panic and I watched a thriller, so I was like, oh my God, this could be my night. This could be the night that I get murdered, because I'm fully convinced.
I was actually more imagining you as the murderer. In that
I know.
But like,
yeah.
One of your neighbors would open the door and be like, what the fuck are
I
you
know.
Doing?
Yeah, this tiny woman in an oversized house coat.
Tell me about Girls with Goals. Who has been the most, like, interesting or scandalous or...
Oh, Rosemary, you'd be up
controversial
there.
Controversial guest you've had.
Controversial guest...
Has anybody caused a ruckus?
No. Mm. I've dealt with people of varying fame, and I think that I always find that quite interesting. Do you know, like, some of my favorite episodes that I've done have been the ones with somebody who nobody knows. And actually, oddly enough, some of those have been the absolute best performing. So I had this girl on, Ashlyn Mahan, and she's from Huckletree, which is this, it's a business, and they just host startups and they kind of like lead them on the road to whatever they're going to do. And she also is kind of a yogi as well. So she spoke about going on like a social media detox and stuff like that. Anyway, like, she tweeted out the show, and I have to say, like, the reaction to that show, and it was just me and her, it was just a one-on-one. It was just massive. And I think, like, those episodes, the ones that really make an impact on, like, listeners, and I can always tell by the reaction that I get, I can always tell by the DMs and stuff like that, I find that they are more crucial for me as a person who's making this content than, say, you know, the Moira Higgins episode. Although that was great to have Moira Higgins, but at the same time, and the episode did well. Ashlyn Mahan did
like?
Ashlyn Mahan did better. She was very tired and she seemed a little bit...
Flat.
Yeah, like, she seemed a little, yeah, like, I mean, I saw her at.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
an event the night before, and she's
like an ambassador for some tan, isn't she?
She was in a gold dress. And she looked amazing. And then when she arrived, you know, I think to be honest with you, I think her bookers are booking her on too much stuff. But she was great. She was nice. She was lovely. I mean, you know, she's a reality TV star. I had about 25 minutes with her. Like, it was fine.
Yeah, but you want some scandal. Was there no scandal?
No, and I didn't ask her about her relationship or anything like that because I don't care.
Oh, gross. I don't care about her relationship with Curtis, the ballroom dancer.
I really don't, yeah. And then I actually just interviewed Michaela McCollum, but we didn't put her on Girls with Goals, obviously, because that's a conflict.
That's not a goal.
Yeah, that's a conflict. Convicted drug smuggler. But that was really interesting. Like, she's just released a book and she's obviously getting a lot of stick because, you know, are you profiting from crime and stuff like that? So I read the book before the interview.
Yes.
So I read the book before the interview.
But I mean, you know, making the best of a terrible situation, perhaps.
I wanted to read her story. Like, I mean, classic. You know these autobiographies that come out and it's like, my story by blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, I don't care about your story. This story I really wanted to read because, you know, whatever about making bad decisions and people making mistakes, which everybody does, I wanted to know what she did to get to that life-altering decision that she made. I have to say, it's a very interesting read. You should read it. You should read
it. So you're basically her marketing person now?
No. Because I'm just saying that it's a really interesting book. And, you know, in the interview, I...
No, but I mean, you're doing a very good... Now I want to read it. Well, I'm annoyed about that.
You should read it. I want to read it. I think we're so...
I will leave an affiliate link in the show notes.
But you know what it is? It's more so these people that everybody thinks that they know. That's what I find really fascinating.
Just like that MTV show. You think you know, but you have no idea.
It's the judgment that I had about you before I met you.
Excuse me. God. The thoughts you had about convicted drug smuggler Michaela McCollum
it's all
are not the same as the thoughts you had about
your
convicted Twitter spatter Rosemary McCallum.
But this is it. It's all relative. It's about the snap judgments because every person that I've said it to that I interviewed Michaela McCollum, every single person was like, oh, what was she packing? How much is she carrying? Like, did you get a good contact offer? I was just like, okay.
Who do you hang out with?
No, but like the jokes.
Literally, the only question I had was, did you ask her, does she still wear her hair in a bun?
I know, and I disappointingly didn't. But it was, if you listen to the interview, it was not that kind of interview. But it's just, I find it fascinating because I'm guilty of it to no end. I make judgments and I make snap decisions and we don't know any of these people. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah,
I mean, Irish people love to make a joke, like joke in inverted commas, that's basically just them being judgmental, I think.
But everybody thinks
we all love it.
Like. That's the thing. Everybody thinks that, like, you know, oh, your career's doing really well. You're doing so good and everything like that. You must have it really together. And because I do these kind of shows, a lot of the people who are on then tweet and say, like, it was so fantastic talking to Niamh, like, la, 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 la. I 100% don't have my shit together. Do you know what I mean? Like, anybody who says that they do is lying. I
would love if people listened to How to Be Sound and were like, Rosemary really knows how to be sound.
Yeah, I think you are sound. That's the thing. You're very sound.
You know what's funny, actually, is trying to explain the word sound. I don't know if you know that I've been in America.
I noticed.
I've been in America for a while. Trying to explain the word sound to Americans.
So I tried.
Because it's just really difficult. Like,
I tried to explain it to my boyfriend this morning, who's English. And
how long have you been dating that you're only explaining this to him this morning?
Well, it's just because I was explaining the podcast, to be sound. And I just didn't know whether or not English people used sound as the way in which that we do. Turns out they do. So he knew. But so it wasn't I didn't actually have to explain it to him. But I was like, do you guys say that?
That's a letdown.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like a nice Irishism.
Yeah, yeah.
But evidently
it's not.
Let me
tell you something about my country, but no, they've stolen it just like they stole all our potatoes.
Right.
Taking it right from us. Tell us about your English boyfriend. Obviously, I know like a bit about him, but you guys have been dating for...
In February, we'll have been in contact for 2 years, but we've been like official, year and a half now. We've been like boyfriend, girlfriend.
And you've been official and long distance.
And long distance the entire time. We met in a different country. We met in France. He's in England. I'm in Ireland.
Did you meet at a wedding?
We met skiing. We actually, our first conversation was
you
in a hot
fancy
tub.
Fancy bitch.
Yeah. I was in a hot tub with my mother. So that was awkward.
Was it just the three of you?
No. His two friends were there too. It was more awkward than just the three of us. But like, it was funny because my mom was kind of trying to like sell me off as mothers do. And she was like, and Niamh always produces the ski videos, the family videos. She's so great at it. Like, cause we get a video every year. And I like made my joke. I was like, right, I'm never going to see these lads again. So I'll just be sarky, close down Niamh. And I was like, yeah, but you know, I always have to do so many edits on them cause I always bring boyfriends and then we break up. Ha ha ha. Like literally, but honestly that's happened like to two of the videos. I've had to like edit my boyfriend out of them. And then Dan like literally so cool as a cucumber, was like, so you left the boyfriend at home then to avoid the extra edit? And I was like, no, no boyfriend. But I just loved how he found that information out. It was a very nice, you're rolling your eyes.
I'm kind of rolling my eyes because I'm impressed. Like, the two of you led each other into that. You're like, yeah. No, I usually have to edit out my boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was, oh, and what about your boyfriend?
Oh,
now?
I was setting it up and he just knocked it out of the park. Like, well done, Dan.
So it was meant to be.
Yeah, well, it was meant to be. But to be honest with you, like, you know, we've had incredible, incredible times. We've gone to Japan, like, we've gone to Paris, we've gone to Italy. Like, he's literally, I've said places, I was like, I've never been here. And he just, like, you know, makes them happen. He's so much better at organizing and planning and seeing
this
things through.
This is what Chicklit has always made me think English boyfriends would be like.
Oh my God, well, it's true. It's like, true. He really is. He's a dream in that way. But to be honest with you, it's not all what you see on Instagram. It's very difficult as well. It's hard. And well, we've been through hard times too.
Yeah, know? I was actually going to say, like, that sounds gorgeous.
Yeah,
and like, I love traveling. I love taking trips. But I also love having the days where you literally do nothing. You just sit in the couch and yeah. You look at your phones. You're just together.
Yeah.
But like I was long distance with an ex. Now, long distance, he was in Galway and I was in Dublin. So
that's
it wasn't
still,
that long.
I still think
it
that
was,
is.
It was before they fixed the motorway. So it took like 3 hours back then, back in the day. But I remember missing just the times when you would be together but wouldn't have to do anything.
Oh, absolutely.
Whereas when we were together, then it was like, oh, we should do stuff. We should go for dinner. We should go on dates. And
yeah.
Also, if we ever had a fight, it felt like, oh my God, we've had a fight in the one weekend we have together this month.
Absolutely. Well, that's one of the things that we would fight about the most. Like, you know, that we have to make sure that we have these amazing moments when we're together. And, you know, even though most of the time it is really incredible, you know, I miss, if I've had a really bad day in work, being able to sit down with my partner and not talk. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because when we FaceTime and stuff like that, it's more so about getting the news out of the day and stuff like that. When realistically, if I've had an incredibly strenuous day and I make believe what our relationship would be like if we were in the same house, I wouldn't be talking to him. I'd probably be cooking dinner, or I'd be sitting down
watching
something.
Or like, he'd be cooking dinner, you'd be having a glass of wine and watching TV.
Like, literally. Yeah. Or it would just be normal. And so I think anybody in long distance relationships can kind of relate to this, that it's missing out on the normal moments that I think are the hardest. And I think that's the thing that I miss the most. But again, even though it's been hard at times, you know, we're still working through these moments in order to get to that ultimate goal, which is obviously to live in the same place. I don't think it's sustainable forever.
Yeah.
You know, we're not stupid like that. And yeah, so I mean, it's definitely tough. I think people in general, not just relationship wise, but everything, always want to put the best foot forward in terms of what we're portraying our lives to be.
Of course.
And so a lot of people are just like, oh my God, well, you guys go to weddings and you go abroad and you travel and stuff like that. You've got this amazing relationship, and pat on the back, fair play. It's been like how many years now that you've been doing this? That's great. But they don't see everything, do you know? Like, and that's not just relationships. That's everything. Nobody knows what is happening in people's lives. And I think, you know, you have to be open to that. Oh my God. Speaking of, sorry, this is not anything to do with this, but I just watched something today. The Morning Show. Have you seen it on Apple TV?
Oh no, but I've heard it's brilliant.
It's so good.
So this
You'll
is with Reese Witherspoon and
Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
Steve Carell. And I mean, I don't know whether it's based on like the downfall of Matt Lauer, but I'm getting serious Matt Lauer vibes.
I read an article about this yesterday. So The Morning Show is about Jennifer Aniston is this kind of morning show host, and her co-host Steve Carell gets in trouble for kind of hashtag Me Too behavior.
Yes, yes.
He gets taken off air, and then she has to kind of battle to do it on her own and, you know, figure out all this shit. And it's kind of based around the studio. But they had started it. They had started writing it, if not filming it, but I think definitely writing it before the Harvey Weinstein, Matt Lauer, the whole Me Too movement. And then they scrapped the whole thing and started to rewrite it.
Okay.
So apparently it was going to be a kind of a different story set in a TV studio.
Yeah.
But different. And then they went, oh, this is happening. Let's rework it.
It's so interesting. And that's, I kind of segued into that because from watching the first episode, I don't want to give anything away, but I really did. It's a huge moment of not knowing what people's lives are like behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what I'm, and also as a producer and a journalist and someone who worked on like breakfast shows for years as well, it's just so fascinating to watch and looking at the relationship between networks and obviously having the Me Too thread running through it as well. It's also incredibly well written and acted and produced. Like, holy shit, Rosemary, you would love it. Do you know, I actually wrote a, like, Here we go. When I was feeling unfulfilled and feeling like I needed to create something, I wrote a show around a breakfast news team, like with a presenter and with a newsreader and with the program director. And I think I called it Earlies or something like that, but I've lost it. I don't know where it was. But it was after a particularly bad weekend where I fell down the steps of the cottage that I was living in at the time and I scraped up my entire side. And I remember just sitting in, like, getting antiseptic cream and just being like, I have to be up at 4 a.m. I was like, what is my life? So that was kind of the first conversation in that show, me explaining to the lads at 5 a.m. how I'd fallen down the cottage steps and I was alone and miserable and all that kind of stuff. So it was actually pretty funny. But then they did the morning show, so I'll never get this made now.
And would you ever rewrite it?
I've lost it. I don't know where it's gone.
I know, but like, you just do it again. Do it again, be easy.
If anybody listens to your podcast, somebody else will write it now. Do you know what I mean? Like, someone will just take that idea and write it because I don't have time.
Well, I don't feel like it was kind of that fully fleshed out.
I mean, it was pretty good.
No, I'm sure it was in your head, but I mean, like I don't think you've given away everything. You could totally do it again.
I haven't. Oh, actually, the one good thing is that, maybe I shouldn't say this. I don't, fuck it, I don't care. It was only a week, so the whole series was just 1 week in the life. So each episode focused on character, and it was all in the week. And then the end of it was on a boat at a party. And anyway, it was good. You should watch it when I write it and make it.
You should watch it in my mind. I don't even have it written down.
Yes, exactly. One day I'll get to it. Do you have things like that? Do you have like projects that you have knocking about in your brain that you haven't got to yet?
Yeah.
That you really want to get to?
Or I have projects that I've written. I've written the intro chapter or the intro two chapters to several different projects.
Yeah.
Like I'm working on a book at the moment, a book of essays. And I was speaking to a friend yesterday and she goes, oh, you know, how's your book going? And I was like, oh, well, you know, have I told you what it's about? And she went, oh yeah, The Social Influencer. And I was like, oh no, not that one. Like,
really?
That I have, you know, like, because I was thinking about doing a project about kind of being a recovering social influencer. And then I changed my mind. I was like, I'm going to do something else. I was like, I don't want to do that right now. I want to do something else.
Yeah. I mean, I think writing a book is, I've always thought that I've had a book in me. I've always wanted to write a book. The thought of it now is crazy to me because there's so much time and dedication. And also, like, writing a book now, like, lots of people are doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's kind of becoming the new podcast.
The new podcast. But also, you know, in Ireland, and like, this is something that people had told me for years and years, and I never really believed until I started pursuing it myself. Not even in Ireland, but like worldwide, unless you become a bestseller or unless you're optioned, there's no money in writing a book.
There's no money.
So, like, you write a book because you love writing and you really have a story that you want to tell or that you want to connect with people in a specific way through the medium of writing. But you don't do it because that's how you want to make your living, because that's not how you'll make your living.
Absolutely.
J.K. Rowling, The Dream.
Yeah. Oh my God, I know. I was listening to a really interesting interview. I can't remember. It was on RTE, I think. And it was an author. Literally, I'm not going to have enough details of this for this to make sense. But like, basically, it was an author who was talking about the lack of grants in the Arts Council and stuff like that. And then, like, off the cuff, he mentioned that he's written 12 books or something like that. And I had never heard of this man before.
I
was just like, wow, you've written 12 books and you're struggling to get funding to continue to write and stuff like this. But it just exactly plays into what you said. Has to be a bestseller, has to be optioned, has to be turned into a movie or a TV series. Do you know?
You get hired on the back of your book to write a screenplay for something else.
Mm.
And then that's how you make your living. One of my favorite books that I read in the last year was N.K. Jemisin's The Fifth Season, which is a sci-fi book written by an American woman of color. And I now support her on Patreon.
Okay.
Now, she's written, I think she's written a few books in the series. They all seem to have done very well in sci-fi circles, but still on her Patreon, she's like, if you'd like to help me make a living. And I give her $5 a month. And I Patreon works, you get rewards, but hers, you don't get any rewards. It's literally just, you're going, I love your work and I want to support you.
Nice.
But it was really kind of shocking to me that I was like, oh my God, you've written this book that I fucking loved.
Mm.
I could totally see it being turned into a TV series. Like, you know, I gather you've written a few more. I'm going to read them too. Mm. And you're still looking for support.
I'll tell you where the money is. You got to pack everything in, move into a van and start a YouTube channel. Hashtag van life. That's where the money is. Did you hear the story of that girl, Janelle?
No, that sounds horrendous.
Yes, so it is horrendous, but I'm slightly plugging a video that I'm working on at the moment whereby a couple have moved into a van. And I want to know, because what you see on YouTube, what you see is their life being like, we've packed it in. Now we live here. Here's our van tour. Here's how I shower. Stuff like this. Obviously incredible, like the content and the SEO stuff. Like, actually, it's about an hour long. But this one girl started a YouTube channel, and in the space of 3 days, she had 1.5 million subscribers. Like, in terms of the money that she'll get on a monthly basis from those advertising figures alone, she'd probably be making about 27 grand a month.
But I would also like to point out that if you don't get big figures on YouTube, you make nothing.
Absolutely. But there's nothing, like, that's the thing. It's funny because she then stepped away. She's only had like 4 videos, but she was like, it was a little bit overwhelming. There was all this conspiracy about whether or not she was a plant, whether there's a Netflix AI show or something like that.
If there was a Netflix show, that would be clever.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It would just be the best marketing ever. Yeah. But yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. But I want to find out about the money behind that kind of stuff, you know, like I love these stories of people who've given up everything and who are living this what's the word,
like nomadic lifestyle.
Nomadic, I was gonna say vagabond, that's wrong. Nomadic is the right word. Nomadic lifestyle. But like, for me, it's a bit more like, well, like, how much money do you have to be able to do it sounds like it's bougie.
Also
sounds like
much,
you need to have a lot of money.
Well also, how much money do you need is kind of what I want, you know, to be homeless without being homeless.
Homeless, yeah, absolutely.
Do you think, like, imagine if you and Dan, like, that would be the polar opposite of long distance, would be to then go, let's quit our jobs and live in a van together. In this 1 meter or 2 meter square space.
Oh my God. Like, the thought of it. Like, because when we went to Japan, like, everything's a little smaller in Japan.
Oh yeah,
so
the hotel
rooms
small
and
well,
stuff like that.
Yeah.
Small spaces don't really affect me at all. Like, I'm quite comfortable on Ryanair flights. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't have long
legs.
Well,
you're what? You're 5'1" or something?
I'm 5'1½", yeah, on a good day. But like, honestly, it's, I don't think I could live in that space, like that too confined. I really like my alone time. I think it contributes to why the long distance has worked, that I do love being alone. Like, you've said that before. I think we've spoken about it, how, like, I don't know whether you actually did say that you were an introvert or not, but like, for me, I do really enjoy being alone. And sometimes, you know, having 385 WhatsApp messages come in, like, just throws me over the edge.
Yeah.
And I do like times when there's no speaking.
Although I actually would
much
rather 385 WhatsApp messages than a phone call.
Yeah, the phone call things, like, I'll never forget this one situation when I was texting, like, a normal person, this guy.
A normal person.
Yeah, like, before we had even met up on a date or whatever, we were just texting. And this is a good few years back. And I remember he messaged me and he was just like, I might give you a call if that's okay. And I was like, why? I was like, what's wrong? What's happened? And then I freaked out, messaged my girlfriends, and I was like, I think he's going to telephone call me. I was like, what do I do? He called and I just like, hey, like, what am I supposed to do?
You know what? I had a similar experience when I was messaging a guy on Tinder, like, thought I was going to totally fancy him.
Yeah.
Like, seemed really attractive. And then he was like, I'll give you a call. And like that, I was like, what the f-? I was like, no, I'm really busy. And he was like, no, I'm just going to give you a quick call, which should have been a red flag.
It feels like they might as well just be saying, I'm about to murder you.
Yeah.
You
know? But anyway, he called me. We had this kind of 10-minute conversation. And in the 10-minute conversation, he made a joke about how homeless people should just get jobs.
Ooh.
Something very just like throwaway, and then moved on to the next topic. But it was enough to make me go, oh, I'm never meeting you.
Right.
So it was the phone call that it took.
Good phone call.
To actually go, oh, that's what your personality's like.
I did. That was a good phone call. And it actually turned into a relationship, which was a good relationship. So, you know, it was fine, but just odd.
So the two of us are horrified, but we're also like, phone calls are a good idea.
Yeah.
But like nobody call me.
Yeah, I just find it so funny. And like, no, whenever I phone my parents now, because I do, sometimes I'm just sick of like messaging. And whenever I phone my parents, they do immediately ask, first off, what's wrong?
What's wrong?
Okay? Yeah. That's the first thing. And whenever I see a phone call coming in from them, I automatically think something's wrong. So I always answer. Even if I'm on a shoot, I will always answer the phone.
My mom called me at 4 a.m. one morning.
Right, what's wrong?
Like 3:30, yeah. I answered it immediately, like, couldn't hear anything. Then rang her back and her phone was on airplane. I was like, oh my God, like, she's in hospital. It's going, oh my God, call my dad, no answer. Called my sister. My sister was like, I haven't heard anything. Next morning, mom texts me, sorry, love, must have done that in my sleep. I was like, you're fucking dead. I literally thought, like, I'd spent the next 4 hours going, oh my God, what do I do? What do I do? Do I start calling hospitals? What do I do? And then obviously I fell asleep. So I was like, not that bothered.
Do you know what was happening to me for a while as well? People were calling me who I didn't have in my address book. Now, I'm a terrible woman for not saving people's contacts. Mm. Sometimes I'll answer and they'll be like, Niamh, I've worked with you for 3 years. Why am I? Why do you always sound like you don't know who I am? But yeah, unknown numbers that call, I wouldn't actually be inclined to answer those because I'm just like, why are you phoning me? And then the thing that frustrates me the most is when they don't leave a message, because I am one of those people who checks my voicemail.
So do I, but I don't like when your family leave messages going like, hi love, just calling, just, like my mom. Yeah, no, hi, I love, just going to say hi. And I'm like, fuck off.
Number five.
Just text me. Yeah. Anyway, listen, Niamh, thank you so much.
Well, this has been
amazing. For coming on How To Be Sound and talking absolute nonsense.
Thank you so much, Rosemary. I want to request that you please don't move to America just because you are sound and I like having you around.
Don't make that request to the immigration and customs people. Just yet, thanks. Where can people listen to the Michaela McCollum interview?
So that is, well, I wrote an editorial that went with that. So that's on the her.ie website. And also there's a link to it in my Instagram, which I have Niamh_Marr on Instagram. And I have, you'll be happy to know, over 2,700 followers. So I'm in the market for some more. Whoop, whoop. So please go and support. Yeah, and then the YouTube is embedded into the editorial. But yeah, it's on the Her YouTube channel. So.
And are you on Twitter, Niamh_Marr?
I am on
Twitter.
It's Niamh_Marr as well. Yeah, again, a lot of that is just my work stuff. I'm going to try and get braver at Twitter and actually write down some of my opinions, but they usually get deleted within 2 minutes.
I wouldn't recommend it.
No.
I mean, it hasn't done me much good over the years.
Instagram is my thing. And also now I've dipped my toe into TikTok. Which
you
is
haven't.
So terrifying.
Like a young person.
Like a really young person. But it's just to see.
Do you have, now this shows my ignorance, do you have a username? Is that how TikTok works?
Yes, you do have a username. But like, I don't want anybody to like go and look at me or anything. Oh. I'm on a
well,
predominantly.
Why did you bring this up in the like, what would you like to plug section?
Oh, no. It's literally just for
just
research.
FYI.
And I just wanted to know whether you were on it too, because I feel uncomfortable being on it, but I have to kind of for my job.
No, I'm not on it. And I'll tell you why. Because I've already been overwhelmed by people doing hilarious things on TikTok where I'm like, oh, that video is really good.
It's
and I know
so
that mine would be shit. It's kind of like how I feel about Twitter these days. Every time I do a tweet that I'm like, this is a good tweet. I did a good tweet yesterday where I shared a picture of, so the Guardian had a headline that said, Leonardo DiCaprio says Greta is a leader of our times. And I tweeted a screen grab of this headline and I said, stay away from her. Because you know he loves young ones.
Oh gosh,
and
okay.
I was like, this is going to be my viral tweet. No.
Nothing.
Barely a ripple in the Twitter ocean.
Did you get like one or two likes?
I got 200 and something likes, but I was looking for like,
oh Jesus,
thousands.
I would, that's me going viral on Twitter.
I was looking for the kind of reaction that would make me have to do a follow-up tweet saying, nothing to plug, but here's my Instagram.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
What I wanted.
No, don't look for me on TikTok, but I am very vocal on Instagram, usually about my neighbors. So
oh my God, thanks. Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
And people can look up Girls with Goals. Anywhere
oh, absolutely.
Podcasts.
SoundCloud, iTunes. It's also on YouTube now as well, video as well as audio. But
I'm glad I was there before those days.
Yeah, it's nice. We've got a nice set now, you know. We're moving up in the world. That's the whole fucking point.
Okay, Niamh. Thank you so much for coming on How To Be Sound. Thank you guys for listening. If you would take 2 minutes to rate, review and subscribe, that would really help. If you have iTunes, you want to give me a little 5-star review, that helps other people find it and also makes me feel good about myself and my life and what I'm doing. If you'd like to support me, you can do so on Patreon. As I mentioned, it's a subscription service, and unlike the author N.K. Jemisin, I do actually give you rewards. So you can sign up from $1 per month. That's patreon.com/Rosemary McCabe. My producer is Liam Geraghty, and his own podcast, Meet Your Maker, has won more than one award. You can find that at meetyourmaker.ie. It's all about the people who make the things you love. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you all next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.